Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
That ball's hit high. It's hit deep. Score 4 for Victor. A grand slam, and the Astros lead this game 6-1.
Woo-hoo. This thin air. Gotta get those martinis dry.
Runner goes, tried to check his swing. That's a swing. Ball game over. Astros win 6-5. Hader's a perfect 24 for 24 and saves to start the year. And the Astros win another one-run game. They're now Major League best 18-7. That one got a little close, Plummer, but they hold on for another win to start the month of July.
Good morning, everybody. Todd Kalas, Jeff Blum on another Astro win call, Space City Home Network, from last night. Todd Kalas, Seth, mentioned it got a little close. Hader gave up a dinger in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, another job well done. He got his 24th consecutive save to start the season. Those games in Colorado, I know what people are expecting, and I know darn well, and you do too, what people are fearing the most, especially since they continue another series without two of their better players.
Right. And if you, I mean, the offense, great. You score 6 runs. The Astros, if they can just be bothered to score 4 runs or more, they have an incredible record when scoring 4 runs or more.
Yeah.
So you do it in that thin air. It's annoying me that Hunter Goodman has come back to the Rockies to give them some kind of a shot in the arm, because that was really the biggest damage done last night was by Hunter Goodman.
Yeah.
But this configuration of the Astros without obviously Yordan and without Peña for whoever knows how long it goes. Like seeing Paredes at leadoff and just being able to soak up pitches is cool and interesting. I don't necessarily like seeing him be the guy that people have to push around the base paths when the speedier guys get on, but it is what it is. Everything about the Astros is what it is, and they're the second best team in the AL right now.
They are the second best team in the American League, and it feels like, you know, I think I told you this earlier in the week, in that, all right, we've got to make the transition here. Yeah, we can't continue to have the conversation like, boy, can you believe what they're doing without this guy,
right,
this guy, this guy, and this guy? At some point in time, you have to realize, you know what? Some of these guys, they belong. Some of these guys are here for a reason. You forget that you have one of the better talent evaluators as a part of your team in Dana Brown, though he might actually be horrible at evaluating, like, injury situations and giving us way too much optimism within the first 24 hours of talking about somebody's injury. But that's neither here nor there. We'll get to that mess in a little bit. It's just some of these guys are really good, and they absolutely belong. Now let's transition, because it feels very much like, even with you having to roll forward with guys like Colton Gordon, who maybe make you feel a little uncomfortable, especially when he pitches in Colorado, or whoever they're trotting out in their lineup and batting fifth or seventh or second, whatever it is, they might end up being the best team record-wise in all of Major League Baseball in the next month or so.
I mean, I guess, okay, some of these guys belong. Yeah, but offensively, they're still a bad team offensively. And where I guess guys do belong is defensively, because we're one of the best fielding, they're second best fielding team in baseball.
Yep.
And you have to combine that with the bullpen. You know, like, yeah, Hader makes it a little bit hairy in the ninth inning there, but they had 4 relievers come out to finish that job last night. Colton Gordon, we talked about the over-under for Colton Gordon. Like, the expectations have kind of been set going into that game as, man, if he can give you 5 innings and allow 2 or 3 runs, that's about the benchmark right now for him.
Yeah.
And he had a rougher night last night. Him waiting for a ball to go foul that was, like, just on a straight – it was running parallel to the foul line, and Colton Gordon just kept – waiting to see if some twist of fate was going to veer it off course. So he allows a hit with that. They didn't end up scoring any more runs after that one. But that was a moment for me last night where you remember, oh, yeah, the Astros are 24-9 in games in which Hunter and Framber start. they are now 27-25 when anybody else starts for them. So the you know, like that's the this team right now is still very much it's a lot of doing things fundamentally sound, but then mostly Hunter and Framber.
Yeah.
If you lose those, all is lost.
I saw that stat, the one that you just reeled off about like their record whenever who pitches. And you understood that with Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. They've been excellent. And we just talked about it, I think, Monday after Framber's performance on Sunday at Daikin Park. It's now 10 consecutive starts in which he has made and the Astros have won. I think he's got 8 of those decisions. Okay, it's not exactly Tarik Skubal where he's gotten all 10 decisions and is 10-0 those last 10 games for his ball club. But hell, Colton Gordon, Seth, going into yesterday's game, he did not get the decision, but the Astros have now won 7 of his 9 starts. That's pretty good. So it is a little, it makes that other stat, the 27-25, their record without Hunter, without Framber, Colton Gordon's been pretty dang good. Last night, not necessarily withstanding, he struggled a bit, but again, the Astros offense, good enough. Thank you, Victor Caratini, for the 4-run bomb.
He's been, I don't know, I guess my standards are higher. Yeah, those guys have been, like, they've been just fine for what you should expect from them. But there isn't anybody that's emerged yet where you feel like, okay, this is the next potential Spencer Arrighetti, or this is the next Hunter. You know, Hunter Brown's a different case just because he's high draft pick. But that's, I guess, that part of just kind of sitting back and respecting what they've done, but then also wondering, okay, what does this look like when you get into the playoffs, and how are you going to have to win 4 games in a series? Obviously, it's a lot easier with Peña and Yordan out there. It would be an all-time story if this team, as currently composed, ends up making a deep push in the playoffs, because it's so far above expectations. The Yordan, for those of you who didn't catch the update, Yordan, a couple days ago, Dana Brown said, hey, yep, looks like Yordan's on track. Yesterday, we get word that there's been a setback, and Yordan is not going to be swinging a bat for the foreseeable future.
No,
so
he
that's
isn't.
I apologize if we didn't if this is what you're waking up to.
Yeah, you know, I'd rather talk about the good thing first, at least in the first few minutes, than the other thing, which we have unfortunately plenty of time to spend time on, and we will with the Yordan setback. It's like, hey, here we go again. I blame all of the cynicism from a lot of our listeners, and maybe you, Seth, because you brought this up earlier this week with the injury situation and how the Astros have handled it. I know.
Cynicism?
It exists.
Cynicism?
Well, yes, there's a little cynicism. Like Rob Torres yesterday on YouTube.
Cynical about just laying out the actual history of the Astros and broken bones.
Well, no.
I don't know. Is cynicism not like, oh, okay, everything's awesome all the time? I'm not so sure about that. Oh, you're a cynic. You're a cynic to not think that everything's awesome, not awesome all the time.
It's Jeremy Pena's, you know, fractured rib turning into, okay, he's going to need, you know, a catheter, or he's going to have a breathing tube, you know, inserted this week. Uh-huh. It's going to be 2 weeks. And now it's Yordan, you know, with the hand situation. You know, there's just so many wild things that people are saying, like from the early onset, like as soon as you hear Dana Brown say, you know what, it's, you know, he's hitting balls all over the yard, it's looking really good, and, you know, maybe it'll be a few days, maybe we can bring him back before the All-Star break, and then boom, setback. Like, I'm literally watching Yordan just destroy baseballs at Daikin the other day before the game, and then this, the setback. Like, what is going on? Carpal tunnel? Like, does he too have, like, another fracture that's developed? Like, this, now there's going to have to be more imaging. All this stuff is going to, you know, just kind of push
it's
things.
Imaging that they do on, like, reclaimed Soviet x-ray machines from the 1970s.
It feels
I'm convinced that when you walk into the Astros medical imaging facility, it's all of that. You know that, you know, machines and computers have to have that, like, that metallic green cover to them. It's all that drab green BS. They got a mainframe computer with tapes reeling on it in the corner. They don't know what they're doing.
I've been lucky. Like, I haven't had to have a lot of x-rays in my life, right? You know, I've broken my hand a couple of times. But I used to go when I coached in Galena Park. The North Shore team chiropractor, you know, had a shop just down the road there. And it was like he stopped caring about, you know, keeping up with the Joneses like in 1985. So a lot of the equipment and, you know, just the overall decor is like just stopped then. And the necessary equipment, like even the x-rays, you remember like those big blocks, like they would stick in like the x-ray machine and you'd have to put your hand or your elbow, your arm, whatever on top of them. And they'd bring this gigantic thing down to take a picture of the image mm-hmm. of your arm. And it was going to take 24 hours for the picture to come through. That's kind of how I feel like the Astros are operating from a medical standpoint at this time. Like they
yeah,
are not.
I don't know if they're even. I think they're just guessing at stuff. It's like their inability to diagnose that a bone is broken. I'm not giving them any more excuses anymore. Yeah. They got a clean house. They roll out that hand doctor to be honored the day after we found out that Yordan had an undiagnosed broken hand.
Yeah.
They're just I don't know what's going on or what kind of sponsorship arrangement or agreement they have with whichever medical office they use, but they gotta put an end to it, man. You're hurting people.
They do.
I feel like this is some Netflix series where you're gonna find out later that there's been an evil nurse over there going around breaking people's hands while they're under anesthesia.
Don't put that on them because it's
happened.
It might very well happen before.
It'll happen again.
It's gonna be HBO Max docuseries, like a 5-parter, like all of the crap Houston's had to go through with their baseball team and their injury updates. It's gonna be terrible. All right, I'm Sean Bajani, by the way, in for Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne here. This is kind of like our Friday, jacked up schedule this week, holiday weekend, July 4th. Hope you enjoy it as much as you can and get some time off. Coming up next, we'll dive a little bit deeper into the ball game last night, the Yordan stuff, let you hear from Dana Brown, and do all of those things next at Sports Radio 610.